We're continuing with Ruth, and we were up to Pasuk Yud Tet. The two of them come into Beit Lechem, and it is the beginning of the harvest of wheat. In other words, they were walking on Yom Tiv because they were in danger of dying of hunger. Pikuach Nefesh. They come back into Israel early in the morning of the first day of Chol HaMoed. That is the day that we go out to harvest, the first harvest, the Omer. All the surrounding cities have gathered around by Beit Lechem to have the first harvest. So you have thousands and thousands of people out there by the fields, prepared for the first harvest, the mitzvah of harvesting the Omer. And to that scene walk in Naomi and Ruth. Vayhi kivana Beit Lechem. So when they entered Beit Lechem, vatehom kol ha'ir aleihem, the whole city was in wonderment over them. And vatomarna hazot Naomi. So the people said, "Is that Naomi? Is that Naomi?" So the older women went over to greet her. The younger women said, "We heard about that lady. We heard about her jewelry. We heard how when everyone else was dying of hunger, her face was rosy. She had rosy cheeks because she had so much to eat and drink. But now she's so pale. Is that the Naomi we heard about?" And so Naomi said to them, "Al tikre nali Naomi, don't call me Naomi. Kire nali mara, you should rather call me bitter. Ki heimar shaddai li meod, because Hashem has greatly embittered my life," and she will say in a minute that she deserved it. She's not complaining about what Hashem did. She's saying, look, Hashem has paid me in kind. Ani milaya halachti. When I left, I was so full, I was even pregnant. Vireka meshivani Adonai. And Hashem in His mercy brought me back. However, He brought me back empty, without a husband, without all my children. She doesn't even mention the wealth. What's that matter compared to the family? Lama tikrena li Naomi. Why would you call me pleasant? Vadonai anavi vishadai heirali. Hashem has testified against me. Hashem has testified that I am obviously not worthy of those blessings. And so Hashem has paid me in kind. Don't call me pleasant. Obviously, my actions are not so pleasant. Vatashov Naomi v'rut ha-Moaviyah halata imah. And so Naomi and Ruth, we just spoke about this pasuk, even though she was Moabite and had a better materialistic option, she went back with her. Hashava misadei Moav, because she, what does it mean, Shava? She's not returning. This is Ruth's first time to Israel. This is her aliyah. What does it mean, Hashava, who was returning from Moab? So that's what our sages say. She said, if I had to do it all over again, I'd return. I'd come back again. Ve'ma ba'u beit lechem bitchilat ketzir se'orim. They had entered Beit Lechem as the harvest had just begun. It is Chol HaMoed Pesach. Ul Naomi moda le'isha. Naomi had a relative, her husband's relative. Oh. So how does this work? We leave Mitzrayim. Who's the man who charges into the Yam Suf? Thank you. Nachshon ben Aminadav from the tribe of Yehuda. An amazing tzaddik. Nachshon ben Aminadav, his eldest son is Elimelech. So Elimelech is from a giant family. And Elimelech really believes he should be the king of Israel. He has a brother, Salomon, also a big tzaddik. His brother Salomon has a son, Boaz. Now, pause. What's going on here? Wait a second. When we left Mitzrayim, Nachshon ben Aminadav was already a big tzaddik. A century, 2 centuries, 3 centuries have passed since we left Mitzrayim. Tell our story. You're right. Boaz, Chazal tell us, had 70 children. Chazal say he was 400 years old. Boom. Boaz was a very old man. So, Elimelech was an old man. His nephew Boaz was also an old man. Elimelech has a brother. Meaning Boaz, one uncle was Elimelech, but there's another uncle. His name is Tov. And there's a third uncle, and that's Naomi's father. Naomi is Boaz's cousin. Naomi married her uncle Elimelech. Here you see a family tree. We have Nachshon ben Aminadav, and he has 4 sons. Naomi's father, Tov, Boaz's father, and Elimelech. So Naomi married her uncle Elimelech. Naomi's cousin is Boaz. Boaz is Elimelech's nephew. Boaz is also Naomi's cousin. Naomi's father and Boaz's father are brothers. Okay? Clear? Our brothers. Naomi is Boaz's cousin.
And they're both sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav.
Correct. Wow. Naomi is Nachshon ben Aminadav's granddaughter. And Boaz is Nachshon ben Aminadav's granddaughter.
And son.
Very good. Wow. Now Elimelech is Nachshon ben Aminadav's son. How do you know that, Rabbi? How do you know that? It's a secret. Let's turn to the end of the Megillah. The end of the Megillah gives us the genealogy. Look at the last psukim. Ele toledot paretz. Peretz is the son of Yehuda. Peretz olidet Chetzron. Pasuk Yutet. Chetzron olidet Ram. Ram olidet Aminadav. Pasuk Chaf. Aminadav olidet Nachshon. Nachshon, okay, that's Nachshon ben Aminadav, yeah. Olidet Salma. Salmon olidet Boaz. So I know Boaz is Nachshon ben Aminadav's grandson, right? And Boaz says there's a relative who's closer than I, that is Tov. The rest is other sources. Coming back to our Megillah. I'm giving you away all my secrets. Okay. Onward. So we move on. ולנעמי מודה לאישה. So Naomi had a relative, her husband's nephew. איש גיבור חייל, a man who was a giant in Torah. גיבור חייל. איש גיבור חייל. Wow. Mimishpachat Elimelech. From the family of Elimelech. Ushmo Boaz. And his name is Come Strength. We don't know what his name is. But his name is Come Strength. Boaz. Come Might. So he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. And he buried all of them. And now, on Pesach, his wife died, and he has no children. He has to get remarried at 400 years old. That's not so simple. But he is very wealthy. He is from one of the greatest families in Israel. He is one of the great sages of Israel. He is the shofet, the leader of the time. So Boaz is alone. Yes. So Boaz had 30 sons and 30 daughters. And every time he'd marry a child, he'd make a party. One party in his house and one party in the in-law's house. And every party he made, he would invite the important people of the time. And there was one important person of the time named Manoah. Manoah was the father of Samson. But Manoah had no kids. And so Manoah didn't have children until he had Shimshon. But Boaz said when he invited people, it was customary, you invited someone, they invited you. Boaz said, it's not nice, I'm going to invite him, he's never going to be able to invite me back. I'm never going to be able to go and make him happy by his weddings. It's not nice, I should just make him come out and dance at my weddings. And so he never invited Manoah. But at the end of the day, not inviting Manoah hurt Manoah. And Manoah was a big tzaddik too. Our sages say, every child that Boaz had, had their own reason why they died. Then again, Boaz lived to 400 years old. It makes a little bit of sense. He should bury his children in his lifetime. They don't have to live to 400 years old. However, our sages say the idea that he buried all of his children was a punishment. On his end, the reason he got that punishment was because he never invited Manoah, and Manoah was hurt by it. So that's a very scary Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. Very, very scary. All this big family, there wasn't anything left of it. So he's a 400-year-old man. What's he looking to do? Get married and have kids. Yeah, buddy, you had 60 kids. Yes, that's what a tzaddik teaches us. You can still produce. You can still bring life to the world. You can still give over. If he lived to 400, who's to say? Maybe he'll live to 450. Maybe he'll still marry off this kid. So Boaz is looking to get remarried. When the Chafetz Chaim was an old man, he lost his first wife. He didn't want to get remarried. He said, how much longer can I live? His children said, Abba, get remarried. They pushed him to get remarried. And at the end of his days, he thanked them. He lived a very old age. He ended up having decades with his second wife. He hadn't realized he would live so long. And after he had all those years with his second wife, he thanked his children for pushing him to get remarried. So Boaz, at 400 years old, or right now he's 399, he's interested in getting remarried. Vatomer Rut HaMoavia El Naomi. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, why does the Pasuk stress that she's a Moabite again? So the commentaries say, it's reminding us, she's a princess. This isn't just any girl. She came from a castle. And even so, she turns to her mother-in-law and offers, Elechana hasadeh valakota vashibolim. Let me please go to the field and gather some charity from the stalks as people are harvesting. The poor are entitled to some stalks. Let me go collect that. Wait a second, you're a princess. Right, but my mother-in-law is known around here. I don't want her to be embarrassed. I'll go be embarrassed. When I was in Brooklyn, so there were shuls I davened in that had the custom that if a woman came collecting at the door, so then she wouldn't walk around the shul. Someone would take the cup from her, and they'd go collecting and bring her the cup. So I forced myself to do it. And then I realized no one knows me in this shul. They think I'm collecting for myself. And then I said, when was the last time you thought about that? Someone was collecting. How embarrassing it must be. I said, okay, it's a bigger mitzvah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to conquer my shame and say, that makes my mitzvah bigger. I'm going to do it. And I'd go around collecting when different poor people came. And it was interesting to see the pitiful looks that people gave me when I'd go collecting, take the cup around. It's interesting to be on the receiving end of it's an experience. Ruth tells Naomi, I'll go. It's never a pleasant feeling to get handouts if you're healthy. But Ruth says, I'll go. Achal asher em tzachin beinam vatomer lah lechivitim. Let me go find someone who will be nice to me, who won't yell at me. What a terrible thing that in that generation people were yelling at the poor. So Ruth says, I will go collecting by a field that they'll be nice to me. Why don't they just go to Boaz and say, hey, Uncle Boaz, we're your family. Could you help us out? They said, we can get what God has given us. And the Torah, Hashem entitles the poor to leket, shikcha, and peah. Let's take what Hashem offers us and let's not ask a human being for handouts. The pasuk says in Proverbs, "Al tisba et lechem ra'ain." Don't be satiated from someone's bread if they are looking at you with an evil eye. If they don't really want to give you, don't ask for their food. Don't accept it. So Ruth says, "I'll find someone who wants to give me." Vatelech vatavo. She went and returned. Smart girl. She says, if I go all the way to the field, I might lose my way back. I'll have to ask strangers. Do I know who's a good person, who's a bad person? They might mislead me and take advantage of me. So Ruth says, I don't want to need people. She leaves the house and goes a distance, comes back, makes sure she knows the way. Goes a drop more, comes back, makes sure she knows the way. Vatelech vatavo. She went, came back. Went, came back. Till she knew she mastered the way, then she moved on. Smart girl. Vatelech vatavo. When she came to the field, there are two ways you can collect in the field. What's the natural way to collect the stalks in the field? You're at the entrance to the field. You start collecting. But then what happens? You have this big bundle when you're at the other end of the field. Vatelech. She went to the end of the field. Started collecting there. Vatavo. So she came back. She had the big bundle when she came back. Right? Smart woman way to do things. How do men do things? They take a watermelon off the table. They want to put it back in the fridge. So they take the watermelon to the fridge. They open the door to the fridge. They look inside and say, no room for the watermelon. They go back to the table, put down the watermelon, and go back to the fridge. What were you thinking? Do you ever go to the fridge and find this big space in the fridge for your watermelon? Did that ever happen in your life? No. The wisdom of a wise woman. Ruth goes, she plans in advance. Vatelech vatavo. She went and returned. Two interpretations. Vatelaket masadeh. She gathered the stalks in the field. Acharei akotzerim. She was careful to go after the men harvesting so that she wouldn't take something she was not entitled to. Vayiker mikreham. Hashem caused it to be on her behalf. Vayiker. It happened to be. No, it was created to be a coincidence. Chelkat ha-sadeh le-Boaz. The portion she came to was Boaz, asher mi-mishpachat Elimelech. Boaz, who was of the same genealogy, the same family as Elimelech. Vehine Boaz, ba mi beit lechem. Boaz was coming back. It was a busy day. They had just been sitting in court. They had just been discussing a very interesting question. If a convert comes into the Jewish people from the Moabite people, he's not allowed to marry an ordinary Jew. He must marry a convert like himself. And so Boaz said, but a woman from Moab is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. They argued, they debated, they verified their tradition, they came to a ruling. Yes, a Moabite woman is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Boaz and his court had just made another institution. When you greet someone, you greet them with Hashem's name. Ordinarily, we treat Hashem's name with the greatest honor. We're careful we shouldn't say it in a place that's not clean enough. We're careful we shouldn't say it in vain. Even if one is designating a sacrifice, they say this should be a sacrifice for Hashem instead of for Hashem a sacrifice. Because when they say for Hashem a sacrifice, we're concerned. After they say the words for Hashem, they might be distracted. Someone might stop them, and then they'll have said Hashem's name in vain. So that's how careful Chazal wanted us to be with Hashem's name. Don't say Lashem Chatat. This is for Hashem a Chatas offering. Say Chatat Lashem. It is a Chatas offering in honor of Hashem. Put Hashem's name last. And still, the courts here on this day, or here in the period of Boaz, they instituted that you should greet someone with Hashem's name. Very important that people recognize that Hashem is in their lives. So Boaz comes and he sees the harvesters who are dealing with the mundane, his physical field all day, and he wishes them they should have spirituality in their physical lives. And he says to them, Hashem imachem. Hashem should be with you. You should have spirituality while you deal with the physical. And they answer him, Vayomeru lo, Yivarechecha Adonai. They answer him, may Hashem bless your material. They say, you were worried about us having spiritual and our materialistic. You're dealing with the spiritual your whole life. May Hashem bless your materialistic part of life. Yivarechecha Hashem. May Hashem bless you, make you wealthy. Vayomer Boaz lenaharo hanitzav al hakotzerim. Boaz says to the lad who's in charge of all the people harvesting, the foreman, lemi hanahar hazot. What nation is this girl from? Ordinarily, we don't see women out here. Who's she? So, she is a woman that had no man in the house. There's no one there who can go except for her. So, Boaz sees that she's so careful. If one or two stalks falls, she picks it up because she's allowed to. If three stalks fall, she doesn't pick it up. She knows she's not allowed to. When she bends down, she bends by her knees. She doesn't bend at her waist. She's careful to be modest even as she bends. Boaz says, wait, she's exceptional. Every time there's something to fight about, everyone clambers and fights. All the poor are fighting. She steps back. She's not fighting. Who is that girl? She's unusual. She's different than all the other people here. Vayan hanar hanitzav al hakotzerim vayomar. So the lad who is by the harvesters, he says, nah, she's not such a good girl. Boaz, you need someone better. She's not fit for you. Nara Moabiyahi. She's a Moabite. They're cruel people. She had a good teacher. Hashavaim Naomi Misedein Moab. But she came back with the big tzadekis Naomi. It must be she's the one who taught her how to be like that. Don't think about her for a shidduch. Often in life, we have that middleman. And often in life, that middleman thinks he can make all the difference. And the Tanakh often zooms in on that middleman and shows us he thinks he can make a difference. The only person he will make a difference for is himself. We sometimes get distracted. We sometimes think It's the flight attendant who gave me a hard time. It's the clerk who gave me a hard time. It's the guy at Mishrad Apnim, that anti-Semite. I know he has a yarmulke on his head, but the way he treated me, he must be an anti-Semite anyways, right? There's that guy who we deceive ourselves into thinking that's my problem. And in Tanakh, we see time and again, that's not our problem. Yosef turns to the middleman. He says to the butler, remember me when you're taken out of here. You're my only hope. No, Yosef. Hashem purposely leaves him in jail for 2 more years. We don't know what it is to spend a day in jail, I hope. 2 years Yosef spends in jail. We learn the idea. Wow, 2 words. Yeah, ki'im. Sechartani itcha. I have no hope unless you remember me. And then the butler thinks that it's all up to him. So when Paro asks the butler, what can you tell me about this guy Yosef? What does the butler say? Everything negative he can say. When Shaul asks, who's that lad about David? What does Doiga Domi do? He says everything negative he can say about David. Over here, the lad tries to say everything negative about Ruth. And every time Hashem shows us, that's not what's going to make the difference. We have opportunities in life. When we can help a person move forward, when we can speak positively, then we can be a part of the success. However, if Hashem sees that a person deserves to succeed, then those little middlemen who try to put feet in his way, they are not going to be able to stop him. And we have to remember that Hashem is controlling the game. We have to remember it's not that clerk that's going to make the difference. He can merit to be a part of the solution. He cannot create the problem. If Hashem wants us to succeed, we will, in spite of it. There's a guy who wanted to marry off his daughters. He lived in a small shtetl. And shadchanim would come from all kinds of towns, and he'd have them meet his daughters, and they were enthralled. And then they'd go on and try to set up a shidduch, and every shidduch was nixed. And he knew why. Because his landlord down below hated his guts. And so everyone that would try to find out about him would call the landlord. And the landlord always gave a bad report. So he went to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, how am I ever going to marry my daughters? So the Rebbe said, when the right shidduch will come, they're going to call the neighbor and not the landlord. And that's exactly what happened. When the right shidduch came, they called the neighbor, not the landlord. I have a friend who the shadchan called him up and tried to set him up. There was a lot of wind. He couldn't hear. And the shadchan's talking and he goes, what? And the shadchan speaks again. He goes, what? And it's an annoying conversation where he can't hear the conversation correctly. And this is going back and forth and back and forth. And finally he says, never mind, I'll go out with the girl. It doesn't matter. Fine. He goes out with the girl and he falls in love with her. The only thing is the girl's deaf. But he didn't hear that in advance. But by the time he found that out, it was too late. He was in love with her. Who takes care of that shidduch? Who created that wind that he couldn't hear the shadchanit? I have a good friend. He married. He was a top guy in yeshiva. Everyone wondered, why would someone who has, he's got no problems, why? Because the Rabbonu Shalom wanted him to marry her. So the Rabbonu Shalom takes care. So the lad over here is going to put some sticks in the wheels. And what ends up happening? We know nothing about him except for the fact that he said some negative information and got nowhere with his life. Mato mer pasuk zayin ala kotana ve'asafti va'omarim acharei akotzerim. So she said to herself, let me go harvest after the men harvesting. Vatavo vatamod me'az ha'boker ve'adat hazeh shivta habayit me'at. She's been here since the morning and she just went home for a short break to bring some food for herself and her mother-in-law. Vayomer Boaz el Rut. So Boaz turns to Ruth and he tells her a line. Hello, shamat biti, al telechi lilkot besadeh acher. Listen here, girl. Don't go to another field. What does that mean? Don't go to another field. Vegam lo tavuri mize, and don't pass on from here. What's Boaz telling her? Hazal tell us that Boaz was telling her, it's tough, you're a ger. Don't leave Judaism. Ruth, don't leave. Who are you, mister? I don't know you. I've seen a very interesting thing in my life. I've seen that as people age, there are those people who will sometimes stop and give a positive word of encouragement to a youngster. It can be, we had in our yeshuv a year or two ago, they worked very hard to make the makolet nice. So someone went out and posted before Pesach, I want to publicly thank those in charge of the makolet, and he wrote the manager's name, and I want to thank them for how they've worked hard to get the makolet, to get our supermarket in order for Pesach, and made it so easy for us to shop. And every time we have a special request, they try to help us. I want to represent the public in thanking them. Right away, tens of people started posting, yeah, they're amazing, yes, bam, 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 bam. Okay, responses kept flying in, thanking and appreciating. It went up to the head of the whole chain. It's the biggest supermarket chain in Israel. The manager suddenly got a call from the head of the chain. And the head of the chain said to the manager, you know, you're making us a great reputation now. It's spreading all over the country, and it's thanks to you. I want to commend you. And that manager, I was told later, it was possible that we'd lose her from Kochav Yaakov because they were upping her up the ranks. Why? Because one person took the time to say thank you. To turn and speak to the person and say, hey, you're doing a great job. Thank you. When was the last time we stopped and went over to a manager and said, I want to tell you this worker is doing a great job? Sometimes it's important not only to go to the manager, but to tell the person in their face, hey, I see you're working hard. I appreciate it. And sometimes people are in a position where they can say even more than that. You should know that in my lifetime I've seen people like you succeed. Keep it up. And it gives people the energy to continue. Now, if you're 15 and you're saying it to a 22-year-old, then I'm not sure you're going to accomplish anything. But if you're Boaz and you're 400 years old, and Ruth is a youngster of 12, 14, and you tell her, girl, don't give up, you're going to be able to be great. And we're going to see in a minute what he told her. We have opportunities in life to tell people how great they are, and that's what gives people strength. And sometimes people need to hear that. Don't give up. You're going to make it. So Boaz said to Ruth, don't leave. And stick to my girls. Boaz is hinting to her, get away from the guys, stick with the girls. But he doesn't say it overtly. He says, stick with the girls of the field. Pay attention to the field. You'll go after them. Pay attention to the field. We said the field is a reference to the way of Israel. He tells her, pay attention to the mitzvos of Israel. You're a convert. You don't know everything. You'll pay attention to how other people do it, and you'll catch on. Just pay attention. I told the lads to leave you alone. Vitzamit, if you'll be thirsty, ve'alachte lakelim, you'll go to the vessels, ve'shatit, me'asher yishavun hane'arim, drink from what they draw from the wells. Vatipol al paneha vatishtahu arza. And she fell and she bowed before him. So many times in life we have an opportunity to give someone special treatment. We have opportunity to give someone special treatment, and usually the people who we are quickest to overlook it need it the most. The person at the bottom rung, the driver. I had to take a cab today to get her on time. So I looked at the driver's name. His name was Dweck. So I said to him, "Where are you from?" I said, "Is that your name, Dweck, what's on the sign?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Where are you from?" So he said, "I live around here." I said, "Are you a Cohen?" So he said, "No." I said, "You know, Dweck is a family that's, many of the Sephardi Dwecks are Kohanim." So he says, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Okay, I didn't mean to pry. So he said, "No, you want to hear the real story?" I said, "Okay." He says to me, "I'm an Arab." I said, "You're an Arab with the name of Dweck?" So I was silent. So he said, "Yeah, there were three brothers Dweck, and one of them fell in love with a Muslim woman, and he married her. And then he moved to Saudi Arabia, and I'm his descendant. So I look Jewish, but I'm an Arab." "I'm an Arab. There's a family of Arab Dwecks, and and that's us." He said, "We don't look Arab." He said, "People wouldn't think we're Arab, but I'm an Arab." So when I got off the taxi, I asked him for a receipt. And then I saw it didn't say Avraham Dweck. It said Ibrahim Dweck. He wasn't lying. But he was so happy to share his story with me. Someone treated him nicely. It's like, "Keep the change," he said to me. I never had a taxi driver tell me that. But he was treated respectfully. When people are treated well, you give them strength to continue and to sometimes be good people. Ruth falls on her face. No one else gets this treatment in the field. What's she used to? What the lad said. The Moabite. She's from the enemies. She bows on her face. Vatomer Elav. Think about it. She's a 12-year-old. And she says to this 400-year-old man, Madua matzati chen be'inecha lehakireini. Why did you single me out to give me this special treatment? Ve'anochi nochiha. And I come from a Gentile nation. I'm from the Moabite girls. I can't even marry a Jew. Why are you giving me this special treatment? I'm the lowest of the low. Vayan Boaz vayomer la. So Boaz raises his voice and he tells her, Hu geidu gad li. You know, I have a tradition, says Boaz, that when Hashem decreed that Moabites can't enter, only men can't marry into the standard Jewish pool of women. But women can marry into the standard Jewish pool of men. And I'm telling you that I know that greatness will come from you, kings and prophets, because you show true kindness. And when a person shows true kindness and then follows it up with following for the truth, then great things come from them. And I know who geidu gadli. I have been told, kol asher asit et chamotech, everything you did on behalf of your mother-in-law, you funded her. Acharei motishech, after your husband died. Vata azvi avich ve'imech. You left your faith, you left your nation, you left your parents, you left your country. Ve'eretz molatech. You left your homeland. It's very hard to leave that. It's very hard. You don't know the language, you don't know the culture. How many things don't you know? You show up to the table, they ask you, did you set the table? You say, where are the napkins? They say, what are napkins? You just don't know the culture. Vatelechi, and then you went, Elam asher lo yadat temol shilshom. You came to a nation you never knew. You not only converted, you switched your whole life around. What is the greatest weakness of a convert? To go back home. What is the greatest falling of a convert? To avoid living in Jewish society. Why, when we speak about a child that grows up without an education, we speak about two children? We speak about a child who was kidnapped, a Jewish child, Tinok Shenishba. When we want to describe a child who knows nothing about Judaism, we say either he was kidnapped, Tinok Shenishba, or Ger Shenitgayer Leben Anochim, or he's a convert who converted and went back to live among non-Jews. So how's he going to know anything? How are his children going to know anything? Like Rabbi Akiva, who didn't know one pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He didn't know. Why? Because his father Yosef was a convert. So he never learned. They didn't have Machon Meir back then. He didn't know. The man learned basics, converted, and that's it. And then his kids grew up totally not knowing anything. Kind people, good people, tremendous values. They didn't know anything. So Rabbi Akiva hated the rabbis. Give me a rabbi, I'll bite him, Rabbi Akiva used to say. They'd ask him, the other shepherds, how are you going to bite him? He said, like a donkey. They asked, why like a donkey? He said, some animals bite the bone. Some animals bite the flesh. The donkey bites the flesh and breaks the bone. That's how I want to bite the rabbis. That's what Rabbi Akiva used to say. So Boaz tells her, you did, not only were you kind, not only did you pursue truth, you did what it takes to succeed. You left your home country to come to this nation who you didn't know. Yeshalem Adonai pa'olech. May Hashem pay you back in this world for your kindness. Utimaskutech shilema. And your wages should be complete in the next world. Me'im Adonai Elohei Yisrael asher ba'at lachasot tachat kenafav. From Hashem, the God of Israel, who you have come to camp under His wings. And Hashem will take care of you in this world and in the world to come. You will still find yourself with the greatest matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Vatomer emtzachin beinecha adoni ki nichamtani vechi dibarta al lev shivchatecha. She says to him, you know, you comforted me. You know what? You just told me I could marry a Jewish man? And here we see how humane the Navi expects us to be. Yes, Ruth made the move. People sometimes think that a tzaddik is someone who suffers and loves it. No. Ruth tells him, you comforted me. In other words, I made the move. I knew I had to do what was right. And it bothered me. The idea that I can't get a top shiduch. The idea that I can't marry a good Jew. The idea that I have to look for second fiddle to see what other convert came in from Moab, etc. I wasn't too pleased with that. So, you converted me. In other words, this bothered me. Wow, you helped me out here. V'chi dibarta lev shivchatecha. And you've also spoken to my heart. You're promising me I have a future. V'anochi lo eye ke'achat shivchotecha. And I don't think I have merits like one of the maids here. I wouldn't have thought I'm getting anything in the world to come. Vayomer lavoaz. Boaz tells her, le'et ha'ochel, when it comes time to eat, goshi alom ve'achalt min alechem, Come here and eat from the bread. V'tavalt piteich b'chomitz. Dip your bread in the vinegar. Excuse me, Boaz, you're a tzaddik. I thought tzaddikim don't know about the mundane. I thought when you're a tzaddik, you don't think about, am I going to put chocolate spread in my sandwich? Or am I ordering a banana sundae for lunch? Am I getting pizza with this topping or that topping? I thought part of being a tzaddik is that you have no clue what's going on in this world. You're so focused on the Ribon Shel Olam. Isn't that what it means to be a tzaddik? How come Boaz is telling her, have some vinegar with your bread? He's going to talk to her, do you want the sour cream dish? Do you want the pizza seasoning? What's going on here? Chazal tell us, Boaz told her in the heat, it's a good thing to drink, to have vinegar. Vinegar is good for the heat. Wait a second, that exacerbates the question. What did you just answer me? The Pasuk in Mishlei answers us. Yodea tzadik din dalin. Yodea tzadik nefesh bimto. The tzadik knows what the poor need. The tzadik even knows what his animal needs. Yaakov Avinu has to pair the males with the females as he's sending a gift to Esav of his brothers. He knows exactly how many cattle to pair, male and female. What's a good pair? That they'll all have peace. How come he knows? Because a tzaddik is concerned also how to be good to Hashem's creatures in this world. So he knows how to be good to his wife, and he knows how to be good to his kids, and he even knows how to be good to the animals. That's part of being a tzaddik. To say, I'm a tzaddik, I know nothing about this world. Just give me sawdust, I'm fine. Who needs food? No. How are you going to help someone else? Boaz tells her advice. You have to take the bread and dip it in the vinegar. That's going to be good for you. And so she sat down to eat. And he gives her kali, which was flour which was roasted. And it was sweet flour. It was their version of dessert, their version of sweets. And she didn't want to take. So he had to give her. And she ate. She was satiated. She left over some of what he gave her to bring her mother-in-law. Tzadik ochel lesova nafsho v'beten resha'im techsar. The Pasuk says in Mishlei and Proverbs, the tzadik eats to satiate his soul, and the wicked are always hungry. A person can eat and say, I could use some more. Maybe there's more dessert. Part of the traits of a tzaddik is that when he eats what he needs, and therefore he's satiated. Some people eat with their eyes. That looks good, and that looks good, and I'll have some of that. Other people eat with their soul. What do I need? Tzaddik, ochel lesova nafsho. He eats to satiate his soul. What do I need? And that's why Ruth is given a nice portion. She eats. She's satiated. She has some left over. And when we eat that way, we can also be satiated. When we eat with our eyes, then if there's more dessert left on the plate, I'm not full. But if we don't eat with our eyes, if we eat with our soul, so then I had enough. I'm good. Thank you. That was great. Vatakom lilaket. She quickly got up to continue collecting. One of the characteristics of pious people is they don't waste time. She finishes eating, she's back to work. Boaz commanded the lads, let her collect, even between the piles, don't shame her. V'gam sholta sholula minat zivatim. You can drop things next to her. You'll leave it for her to collect, and you, every time, maybe forget things, and let her collect, and don't yell at her. Vatilakeit masadeh ad ha'arev. She collected till the evening. Another characteristic of the pious, she does not carry everything home. She separates the stalks from the kernels. She's taking the kernels home. She's got a lot to carry. She has barley the volume of an epha. An epha is 3 se'ah. That's 18 kav. A kav is approximately 2 liters. So she has about 36 liters to carry home. 36 liters. How many Coke bottles is that? How do you carry that home? Wow. I don't know how she did it. Vatisa. She slept. She came and brought it to the city. She didn't want to meander where she would be met with improper people. There are those people who wait till nightfall and do whatever they do. Ruth wants to get home before improper things start happening on the streets at night. And her mother-in-law sees the tremendous volume she collected that day. You know, maybe she had a wheelbarrow or something. I don't know how she carried it, but maybe she had some kind of instrument to carry it with her.
Would Boaz have sent some of the young lads with
her? Doesn't say. And she gave her et asher hotira misovah, what she had left over from when she was satiated. She gave her the leftovers. Vatomer lachamota. So her mother-in-law said to her, Eifo likat et hayom ve'ana asit. Where did you collect today? Where did you get so much? Yehi makirech baruch. The man who recognized you, who treated you so well, should be blessed. Our sages say this blessing is what allowed Boaz to have one more child. I remember this medrash from somewhere, and I have no idea where, but that's what I remember. That this blessing gave her a blessing, but you got to go looking because right now I don't see it in my notes. But that's what I have in mind. Okay, our listeners should not answer amen. This isn't life. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shakol Nieh B'Dvaro.
Why are they not? You say that you're not saying.
They shouldn't answer. Our listeners shouldn't answer. That.
Life?
No, it's not life. That tagid lachamota. So she told her mother-in-law what she had done with him. Vatomer sheimaish asher asiti imo hayom Boaz. She said to her mother-in-law, the man who I benefited today, his name was Boaz. How did she benefit him? What does that mean? Shema ish asher asiti imo. The man who I benefited today was Boaz. Why? So she's a powerful girl. And she recognizes when Boaz's lads make these fake mistakes and drop things next to her. And she doesn't take it. And that's why she has to work till nightfall. And then she can schlep this huge volume. So Ruth is a powerhouse, both as a woman of kindness and as a woman of truth, and physically she's schlepped all this home. And Ruth recognizes that she has a choice who she will take charity from. And she says, the person who I benefited today, because I didn't have to take from him. He gave me, that's true, but I also gave him, because he got a mitzvah by helping me. Who's doing who the bigger favor? We don't make a bracha on giving tzedakah. Why? So one of the reasons is because the poor person might not accept your charity. I've had this where I gave someone money and they threw it back in my face. They might not accept your money. So you can't make a bracha. You don't know if you're going to do the mitzvah. Ruth says, I did more for him than he did for me. That's a perspective. That's a perspective. Good evening, Mr. Dweck. You guys know him? Ah, this is Gabe Dweck, the Kohen. Pasuk Chaf, we just spoke about the Dweck family before you came in.
The good Dwecks or the bad Dwecks?
The bad Dwecks.
The ones that sold livers?
Nope. The one that married an Arab. Okay. Back to... I gave you an intro. Okay. Pasuk Chaf. ותאמר נעמי לחלתה. נעמי says to her daughter-in-law, ברוך הוא לאדוני, blessed is Boaz to Hashem, אשר לא עזב חסדו את החיים את המתים. Hashem's kindness is there for the living and for the deceased. ותאמר לה נעמי, נעמי tells her, קרוב לנו האיש, מגואלנו הוא. He's our relative. He's one of those people who could redeem us. He has a mitzvah to redeem us. You thought that you're a noble. You came from an important family. I got news for you. We're also an important family. You know that man Boaz? He's our relative. Yeah, you know he's very wealthy. He's got all those fields. Well, he's our relative. And he's one of those people who have a mitzvah to buy back our properties and to marry you. Vatomer Ruth Moavia. So Ruth, a minute ago she was her daughter-in-law. Now, suddenly, the Pasuk calls her the Moabite. Why does the Pasuk call her the Moabite here? So the Medrash says that this time it's a point of rebuke. The Pasuk is telling you, you're about to hear what she said. This is the Moabite in her. The impact of having grown up in Moab. Gam ki amar elai im anarim asher li tidbakin adim kilu et kol hakatzir asher li. You know what? He told me, stick with my guys until they finish the harvest. Stick with my guys. Boaz told her, stick with my girls. Why is she saying, stick with my guys? So Chazal tell us, she didn't have that sensitivity. Boaz was hinting to her, stick with the girls. And she went right back to the guys. It went straight over her head. She didn't even catch that Boaz had said, stick with my girls. And so that's why the Pasuk says, Ruth the Moabite answered, because in this sense, it was still the impact of having grown up in Moab, that she didn't have that sensitivity. You don't belong with the guys.
ותאמר נעמי אל רות כלתה.
So Naomi tells her daughter-in-law Ruth, טוב ביתי כי תצאי עם נערותיו. Good idea, Ruth. You stick with those girls. Naomi veers her back on path. And this is one of the challenges. Very often someone who is chozer b'tshuva or a ger doesn't have sensitivities, and they need to learn them. And someone has to teach them. And not everyone knows how to do it. It's a hard thing to do, to know how to guide a person on the one hand and not annoy them on the other hand. Give a person respect on the one hand, but give them guidance on the other hand. Person needs guidance. They don't want to be treated like a three-year-old. On the other hand, they don't want to walk around making mistakes. You know, it's like a guy who walks around with their zipper open. You want someone to tell you. It's not comfortable the minute someone does. But it's much more uncomfortable to find out 3 hours later that you've been walking around that way and you don't know where else you've been that way. So you realize the guy's doing you a favor. There are many things like that in life. However, you have to know how to do it well. It's one of the things I try to learn from a listman. In my 11, 12, 13 years, however many years I'm here, I still don't know how to do it like he does it. He tells guys and boom, he teaches them for life. You know, you shouldn't have missed that event, whatever it is. No, it's an important thing. He tells the guy and the guy learns, yeah, I should. That's important. And you should know, Rav Listman to you might seem like he's saying it on the fly. I'm telling you that it's calculated. We were standing at the back of this base medrash one Yom Kippur night. And a student walked over to me and spoke to me and left. And Rav Listman walked over to me and said, what did you guys just talk about? I said, that was one of the worst conversations I ever had in my life. So he said, what happened? I said, we just finished the night of Yom Kippur davening, right? He goes, yeah. I said, the guy asked me, where do I catch a cab? I said, what? The guy said, yeah, I need to go to Tel Aviv. This was a student of ours. I said, maybe you want to try davening tomorrow morning. Maybe, you know, it's Yom Kippur. And the guy said, no, tonight was very long. That's it. It was good. It was very nice. It was an interesting experience. I got to go to Tel Aviv. So you're not going to help me get a cab? It's okay. I'll manage. It's fine, Rabbi. It's fine. I'll see you after Yom Kippur. Bye. And he walked out. And I stood there stunned. I wasn't ready for that one. And Rav Listman smiled and said, what do you want? He's new. He just got here. It's the first time in his life he's davening a night of Yom Kippur. Let's see how we can help the guy out. And he ran after the guy to see what he could do. It blew me away. The same Rav Listman who will tell a guy something about benching because he gauges what he thinks each guy should hear. It's not just off the cuff. That's an educator. I'm saying, Naomi is teaching Ruth. Don't go with the guys. Go with the girls. Now, if Naomi doesn't tell her, she won't notice. She'll spend the rest of her life doing that. So someone has to teach her. And when you're close to someone, then you have the opportunity to do it. I'm telling you, it's a skill I don't think I have. I'm trying. I'm working on it. But I'm always scared I'm going to hurt someone's feelings. But the flip side is, people don't learn. People don't learn if you don't tell them. It's a very big challenge. I'm always scared of hurting someone's feelings. But that's not a good enough excuse. Don't let other people entice you, Naomi tells her. You stick with him. In other words, Naomi tells her, you're a girl. Other people might try to call you to be by their fields. By Boaz, you're going to be modest. And you're going to continue being modest. Stick with that environment. One of the things we have to think about when we choose a place of work is where can I hold on to my values? Naomi tells Ruth, you might be enticed somewhere else. Someone else might treat you nicely. But who knows what sinister intentions they have. And even if their intentions aren't sinister, what type of person will you be? You choose based on how you will come out of that job. Don't let them entice you in another field because ultimately you won't be the same person coming out of someone else's field. Stick with Boaz. So she stuck with Boaz's girls collecting. She stuck with those girls. Notice she got the message from Naomi. Until they concluded the harvest of the barley and the wheat. And she stuck with her mother-in-law, even though they had amassed a lot of barley and wheat, etc. She was still with her mother-in-law. She's there. Okay? It's a constant. She's with her mother-in-law. It's unnatural. Not easy being with a mother-in-law. Okay. Vatomer la Naomi chamota. So Naomi tells her, Biti, hallo avakesh lach, manoach asher yitav lach. My girl, I would like to seek out for you a situation of tranquility. I want things to be good for you. A woman, remember we learned earlier, Naomi said to them, a woman only finds peace when she's in a home, when she's married. I want you to have peace, so I want to marry you off. V'ata halovoaz modata nu asher ayit et narotav. Boaz is our relative. You were with his girls. Hineyu zore et goren asorim alayla. He is winnowing. He is dealing with his barley tonight. V'rachatzt vasacht. You will wash yourself. You will anoint yourself. Wear your Shabbos clothing. This is our source for the idea that we're supposed to have nicer clothing for Shabbos. So she says to her, wear your Shabbos clothing as you go down to him. Don't reveal yourself until he finishes eating and drinking. What's she telling her? Wash yourself. Ruth needs instructions to wash yourself. She's telling her, go to mikveh. Make sure you're pure.
Okay.
What's going on in this story? So tonight I'm going to tell you. Maybe. But it's an advanced class, so I don't know if I want to upload it. So now we're going to pause this recording, and I'll give you a long introduction to what's going on here. Sorry, listeners. You could listen to other year's classes where I gave a basic explanation of what's going on here.